now that you're done getting married and stuff, can we do a show again?
Sure. I'm going to play video games again, too.
Okay. And I'm going to laugh at you. Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 7th, 2014. This is Mike Minotti, and I am joined by my brother, recently married and back from his honeymoon, AJ Minotti.
Hello. So. I think that's the longest hiatus of the podcast in its 7-year history.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, with good reason.
Like, what, 3 weeks we were gone? Yeah.
If we did anything wrong, it was just not foreseeing it and just, like, saying we should take some time off.
We told ourselves, like, oh, we'll cram in a show. Yeah, just never did.
Quite. But now we're back. So yeah, AJ got married, so you know,
right.
Give us a break. But well, here we are now, so you know, some things have been happening. We got some news to talk about. Yes. I don't know if you've been playing very many video games, but I have
not really.
Yeah.
There's a game you played while you waited in line for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Well, great. cool. So yeah, I'll talk about a couple things I've been playing. So we'll do that, then we'll... sort of talk about what our community is up to, and you know, right before you left, we kind of moved over to the Squadron Shame boards, and that's been going well. Then we'll do the releases, and that'll be the show. So, so what do you want to talk about, Asgai? Now that you're back, what's the first thing on your mind?
Let's start with Assassin's Creed Rogue, because that's a thing now.
Okay, yeah, right. So long rumored. Seems like this is because back when Assassin's Creed Unity leaked, there's another game called Assassin's Creed Comet. That they said was going to be last gen only and be more like Assassin's Creed 4 and that it was going to be ship based. And this seems to be that game. They just changed the name at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
So, so tell me a little bit about AJ.
I mean, it's just a CG trailer so far, but you play as a Templar who's hunting assassins who, like, I guess he used to be an assassin. And he's Irish. So, you know, he's got that going for him.
Okay.
But they seem to be pretty adamant, like from the trailer, that it is exclusive for the PS3 and 360, which I feel is kind of a bummer. Like I guess I understand why you kind of have to do it, but I'd rather just play this on my Xbox One or PS4.
It's kind of weird because I play Assassin's Creed 4 on my PlayStation 4, and I'm gonna play Assassin's Creed Unity on my PlayStation 4. It's gonna be weird to just suddenly like play one of these. Is there going to be a PC version? Because I might just do that.
They haven't said. They said, because Unity's coming to PC, but Rogue, in the trailer, says exclusively for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
And the other thing is, how long do you think it's going to be before, like, I bet you, like, next summer?
Oh, yeah, or even sooner. Within 6 months, it'll at least come to PC, if not also PS4 and Xbox One, which is, like, has me feeling like I shouldn't jump into it right away, you know?
Right. So it is weird, though, to do this. Like, I can understand.
I guess it's a way of setting expectations, because let's face it, it's not going to be as big and grandiose and perhaps different as Unity will be. Will it have the new control scheme where you have parkour up and parkour down? Maybe not. The crowds probably won't be as big. I mean, so far it seems to take place in the Antarctic, which isn't exactly a populated area.
Right. I guess that's my question, is where should my expectations be? Should I expect something like Assassin's Creed 4 from this? Or do you think this is going to be kind of less than?
I think you should expect the Brotherhood of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
What does that mean? Because Brotherhood had as much content as Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, content, yeah, but not as much as an evolution in terms of graphics, gameplay ideas.
But I shouldn't expect, like, an Assassin's Creed Liberation.
No.
I hope not.
Better than that.
It's still weird, though. Because, I mean, you know...
For me, it just comes down to the fact that I don't want to be turning on my 360 anymore if I can help it.
Right. But it's just still, I mean, because we're going to have Unity, like, a month before this, right? Or...
Less than that. This comes out November 11th. Unity is October 28th. So it's just, like, 2 weeks between them.
Right. Like, why not put this, like, months afterwards at least? Or I guess you want a holiday game.
They want the holiday sale, yeah.
It seems like, I'll tell you what. I bet you they kind of have to already be regretting this decision. Because I feel like the reason they did this is because they were worried about slow adoption of the next generation system, which isn't the case. So this really just
Why do you think they waited so long to announce it?
Yeah, it seems pointless. It seems kind of like a bad idea. Because, I mean...
You know what's really interesting to me?
What?
Neither game is coming to the Wii U.
Well, yeah. Well, that's not surprising anymore, right?
I don't know, like, why not bring out Rogue? I mean, you had Assassin's Creed 4 in the Wii U, right?
Because they probably didn't sell very many copies of Assassin's Creed 4 in the Wii U.
I guess.
But, yeah. So, I mean, are you going to get this?
Like I said, I mean, I haven't even finished 4 yet. I'll probably do what I always do. I'll finish 4 sometime in September, just in time to get Unity. And I'm not going to feel any itch to get Rogue until I've at least finished Unity, and hopefully by then there will be at least a PC version.
Right. The only thing that, like, helps my prospects of wanting to get this, like, very soon is that so much of the late 2014 stuff has been getting delayed.
Yeah. October really emptied up in a hurry, didn't
it? Yeah, well, because Evolve, that's the big one. That's gone. That's February now. So that sucks. Battlefield Hardline getting delayed shocked me. That absolutely shocked me.
Yeah, because you would not have thought that'd be a game they'd be willing to delay.
Well, there's that, because, you know, yeah, obviously, because you'd think, like, EA would be, like, very insistent that they need a shooter this fall. And you know, usually EA, you know, usually EA is pretty good, or you kind of expect these big publishers to be good about their yearly releases. But, like, I just don't, how much work can it take to make Battlefield Hardline? Because it really is, it's just a cops and robbers, like, mod for Battlefield, basically. Let's just... Some sort of really intricate single-player campaign, which may be ill-conceived, because those have gone over so well in this franchise before, except for, like, Bad Company. I don't know. I didn't even play those, but I don't know. Yeah, that shocked me when that was delayed. What else? There's something else, right?
Well, Dragon Age just got pushed back, like, a few weeks.
Okay, I saw it when
out of October and into November. That's fine.
When I saw Dragon Age delayed, my heart skipped a beat for a second, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. Whatchamacallit? Batman had already been delayed into 2015.
Oh, yeah.
The Witcher is February. I don't think it was ever confirmed for fall, but some people just kind of thought
so,
maybe.
Yeah, so what do we have this year, then? We got Smash Brothers. We have a Call of Duty. We have 2 Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah.
What's, like, Sony's big game this year? Like, their big exclusive?
Drive Club?
No. Is it? Is Little Big
I don't
Planet
think 3? They have anything else. Is that this year?
Yes, I'm assuming.
I don't think so.
It must be something they're doing. What about Microsoft?
Well, they'll have the Halo collection.
Okay.
Which, in light of everything else, I mean, that's... Aside from Call of Duty, that's like the other big shooter this holiday, when you
I
think
mean,
about it.
I mean, I guess, in a way, but it's something new there. I don't know if they're going to sell millions
I'm
millions
just saying.
And millions.
You'll have Fable Legends.
Yeah.
Forza.
I feel like there's some sort of big place. Oh, I mean, Destiny is the big thing, huh?
Well, yeah.
That's the one. I mean, Destiny's gonna be.
It's like almost early enough in the fall that, like, I don't even because it's like a late summer game as opposed to like a holiday game to me.
Yeah, that's true.
September
9th, when is it?
September 9th.
September 9th. Okay. All right. But I had one question for you. Are you going to beat Dragon Age 2 before you play Dragon Age 3?
We'll see. I did get it when it was like $5 on Origin. So maybe I'll try to run through it.
All right. Well, we should have Far Cry 4 this year, too. So there's something.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Okay, so... All right, what else do you want to talk about?
So I just thought it was very odd that they announced BioShock for iOS.
Right.
That kind of came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a very random
You wrote the
thing.
Story on that, right?
What's that?
Did you write the story on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I did actually write a story on that. Well, I don't know. Because 2K has released XCOM before. And the press release, you know, the console version of XCOM. In their press release, they just kept mentioning that. I'm like, well, this is very different from that.
Yeah, I mean, XCOM totally works on a touchscreen. We've played shooters with touch controls before. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've removed jumping from the game, which is going to feel odd.
Don't you need
I mean, just looking at these screenshots, it's just like...
It looks worse, right?
It's, It's the same thing that happened to XCOM. You lose a lot of the lighting and shadows, so everything just looks kind of flat.
Yeah. It's a weird decision. It's all, again, who's going to want to play this with the touchscreen controls?
Yeah, like, they're quick to point out, like, oh, it supports controllers. Like,
what percentage of iOS device owners do you think actually have one of those controllers?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. I mean,
there really hasn't been very appealing options there yet. Well, first of all, every one of them is like $80. I don't know why an Xbox One controller can cost $50, but these things are $80 to $100.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. All right. What else?
So two kind of subscription things that are mildly related because there's been some back and forth. So first, EA announced this whole EA Access thing, which I'm on board with. How about you?
I don't really play many of those games, because what are the games on there?
It's five. You either pay $5 a month or $30 for the year. Mm-hmm. And for that, to start with, they are including Battlefield 4, Madden 25, FIFA 14, and Peggle 2. Mm. As long as you're a member, you have access to those games. They will add additional games in the future, and they said currently there are no plans to ever remove games from the vault.
I mean, it might be good if you really like EA Sports games, and you can just maybe do this instead of buying the new one every year, but I don't know.
Well, and the other advantage comes if you are an EA person, then you also get 10% off all your future digital EA purchases. Mm. So, you know, Dragon Age, the next Madden.
I don't know.
You know. What have you?
I feel like, because, I mean, who's going to want all those games? Because you're going to, unless you want all those games, you're going to lose money on the deal eventually.
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. I have a physical copy of Battlefield 4. If I could trade it in for even $15, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but then, so what? I mean, no offense, AJ, but how much are you going to play in these games? I mean, you bought Madden for Xbox One. How much did you play it?
I played like a dozen games or so on it.
I don't know. I feel like there's going to be subscription kind of hangover soon. Because, I mean, you know, subscription services are great and all, but eventually people can only have so many of them.
Well, I feel like everyone wants to be the Netflix of gaming, but they don't know what that means. Because the reason you like Netflix is because there's just a bajillion options.
Right.
And you will play
staggering.
Or will watch things that you may not have otherwise bought. And no one has... Either the people with the library to support that aren't willing to go in, or you have, like, EA and their vault. But, like, I mean, these games are less than a year old.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay a subscription service to play 4 games. I'm sorry.
I mean, right now, you could look at it this way. If you've never bought Battlefield 4, getting Battlefield 4 for $30 right now, it's not terrible.
You don't get Battlefield 4. You get to play it for a year for that, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of terrible. All right, So what,
but then, so Sony tried to claim that the reason this is not on the PlayStation, because this is an Xbox exclusive service, is because they did not feel it was a good value, and they try to say, like, you know, people should be using PlayStation Plus because that's more inclusive and blah blah blah. And yeah, I'll give them that. But then, like, a few days later, PlayStation Now went into open beta, and oh my god, this is like the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, the prices are terrible.
It's awful. This is PlayStation 3 launch Sony coming out a little bit here, I feel like. It just boggles my mind that nobody at any point was like, guys, we can't charge $15 to rent the PS3 version of Guacamelee for 90 days when the PS4 version could be bought for the same price.
Yeah, there's no logic to
it. It's so ridiculous.
Well, yeah, because I'm in, you know, the beta's open, but like, I actually got 90-day free trials of a bunch of PlayStation Now games.
Oh, so you've actually gotten to use it.
Yeah, I've been kind of using the service a bit. You know, maybe I'll talk about that after this is, or when we get to what we've been playing segment. But yeah, just looking at those prices, it's just baffling, because, you know, I think there could be something to, like, a service that lets you play a game for 4 hours, but not for, like, $6
$4.
Or, like, what?
Yeah, you could... The option I saw was to rent Metal Gear Solid 4 for $4 for 4 hours. You wouldn't even get past the opening cutscene. Like, what the hell?
That game is so old. There's no way that game could You can find that game in a bargain bin for probably $15 right now.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. I don't understand why they're so obsessed with rentals. Because, to me, you rent something to try it before you buy it. But right. You can't buy any of this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why this isn't a subscription service.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't here because I want to try these games. It's here because I want to play them on my PS4.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Which, it's not like I'm going to be like, well, that was pretty sweet on my PS4. I guess I'll go out and buy it on my PS3 now.
I can almost understand why they can't just, like, make it a part of PlayStation Plus, because PlayStation Plus is already probably, it's already a value. It's already justifying its cost. But, right, you know, this $10 a month or something else. I don't know.
And just give me access.
Because the library is decent. Like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, cool, like, Mega Man 9 and 10 are on here. I wish I could just kind of play them right now. But I'm not going to pay, like, $10 to rent Mega Man 9 for, like, a few months.
Right. And then, like, crap, I just lost my train of thought.
Train of thought, man.
Yes.
Jet lag, Edge Guy?
It's more like a mental jet lag. Hmm. 24 hours ago, I was in a plane, I guess, but I was having breakfast in Disney World yesterday.
Right.
Anyway, well, another point I was going to make, too, is I can't believe they didn't, since it is an open beta, give me one free credit so I could at least, like, I'm not going to pay $15 to rent something and find out, oh, what do you know, like, my network connection's shit, and I, like, the game plays like garbage. Like, right. At least let me try it in some capacity before I start giving you money.
Yeah. It just makes no sense because it seems like they're setting themselves up for failure at those prices. That's just ridiculous.
Absolutely.
There's no
way.
Absolutely. Maybe they'll see that with the beta. They'll realize that nobody wants to spend that kind of money.
Right. Oh, now I remember what I was going to say, too. I'm looking at a lot of these games that are, like, they were digital games you could buy on the PS3. They have my account info. Would it really been that much to be like, you know what? You bought this game. Here's your access to it
right.
on your PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have been so nice, and no, they didn't want to. They, like you said, who the fuck is going to pay $10 to rent Mega Man 9?
Yeah.
Who?
It's weird. I don't get it. I mean,
Sonic CD is on there. I play it on my iPhone, and it costs less than the rental.
Yeah. And, I mean, the thing is, like, the games, they streamed pretty well, really. Better than, like, an experience I've had with On Live. You know, like, the quality... The graphical quality takes a little bit of a hit. Everything's just kind of a little fuzzier, I want to say. If there is input lag, it's very small. It's like one of those things where you keep, like, pushing a button, and you're trying to tell if there is, because you think maybe there is, but you're not sure. So it's small enough to the point where it either, like, maybe it's there, but you're adjusting to it easily enough anyway, or you're not sure. Like, it was bothering me a little bit more, and, you know, I played Guacamelee, Killzone, Metal Gear Solid 3 HD, and Dead or Alive Tits, or whatever, which one it was. one of the Dead or Alive. And, yeah, it was, you know, it's like the input lag was almost more of an issue in, like, a first-person shooter than it was, like, in Guacamelee or something like that.
Which you kind of expect.
Right, which makes a little sense. But, I mean, it worked well. There was, like, there wasn't really lag that I had. There was, like, there's times where, like, there'd be a little screen tear for, like, a split second, like, every, like, 10 minutes, maybe. So, overall, it ran pretty well. You know, it's not the ideal way to play a game, but you could, you know, play a whole game like it, sure.
Right.
But, so, yeah, and, you know, it seems like that end of it is fine. It's just the pricing. It's just bonkers.
Yeah, I hope, like, God forbid people are actually like buy something because they're curious, and then something's like, wow, look at these initial numbers, we're on to something here, and then, like, they're like, yeah, you know, our market data shows that people are happy to pay these prices, and
yeah, right,
and it just all gets bad.
It's all bad. All right, what else are we talking about?
Finally, I thought we'd talk about just yesterday. Twitch announced a whole bunch of policy changes.
Yeah.
The big one. Well, I guess they're both kind of big, but, like, the first one was that they were no longer going to archive your broadcasts indefinitely, but your highlights will stay up. They're, like, changing the whole way they handle that in the back end.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a big deal.
Well, people are upset because it affects people who do, like, longer game speed runs, which they said they didn't think about, so now they're already trying to, like, find some sort of workaround on that.
But can't you just export your backups? Your broadcasts? I thought you could.
Well, I thought they're saying that you can't have, like, two, like, You can't have old broadcasts that are like over 2 hours long now or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Something.
Oh, okay. So whatever, that's a thing. And then they've implemented a YouTube like thing where it'll scan your highlights for copyrighted music, and it does it in like half hour chunks. If it finds at least 10 seconds of copyrighted music, it mutes that entire half hour.
And I think it's important for, maybe people don't follow Twitch a lot. A lot of competitive gamers, like, they're half broadcasting and kind of half DJing, to be honest, a lot of them.
Right. A lot of the times, yeah, I've noticed whenever I watch, like, a Dota stream on Twitch, like, they have music playing. It even shows, like, what playlist is playing on the screen and all this nonsense. Which, I mean, yeah, I could see why that's an issue. I mean,
no one's going to like, oh, I like the song, I need to keep watching this Twitch broadcast of a Hearthstone match at the 23 minute mark to hear it over and over again.
And then at the same time too, people have already found issues where like a dude was streaming Fallout 3 and it tagged the in-game music as copyrighted content and muted his video.
And how is it ever going to distinguish between the two?
Right,
like how's a lot it gonna know? Like, you use a game like NBA 2K14 or something, which has like a lot of licensed music from popular artists. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it seems weird.
Because even that's an interesting one. Because you remember whenever we would make game clips with NBA 2K14, they were quiet.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's how they kind of went. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Music is such a I don't know how anyone can make money off of music anymore.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Right. All right. I wonder, like, in the future that there's just, like, there'll be people get popular because of their music, but, like, no one's going to be rich selling music. I don't think anyone is now. Like, because your music's popular, then you get to make, like, all these appearances and concerts or whatever. Like, no one makes money. No one makes money selling CDs. No one makes that. I don't think that people make that much money selling their songs on iTunes.
No.
Because, I mean, you know, YouTube has their policy, but still. I could think of any song in the world right now, look it up in YouTube and find it and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets taken down, somebody's going to put a new one up that'll be around for a few months. And the cycle continues.
Right.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it for me. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, nothing too urgent-ish. So, let me talk a little bit about Abe's Odyssey, or the New and Tasty. I got a code for that. So, this kind of interesting, because I remember when this game came out, and it was a very hard game for me, so I liked that the game kind of was so, you know, kind of, I don't want to say cartoony, but, you know, it had a style. It was exaggerated a little bit, but it was always kind of too hard for me to really get very far in. It was probably one of those games that I spent more time watching you play than I actually played. This this kind of new version is interesting because it's the same game, but just with, like, 3D model stuff. But, like, when I say same game, like the menus are kind of the same, but they're fancier, and that's, like, really jarring. Because they just don't make menus like they did back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you have to see it to understand, but it just looks like such a 90s video game menu. It's kind of weird. And, like, just like, because, like, it looks like a new game, except, like, the men, like, that, and, like, the cutscenes are awkwardly paced, like a lot of those 90s video game cutscenes were, like, there'd be a narrator, but the narrator would, like, say something, then 10 seconds of, like, awkward on-screen footage would happen, and then he would say something again. And just so on and so forth. So
you think it's a little too faithful?
Maybe. Because, yeah, some parts of it are a little weird. But, I mean, the game itself is fun, still. Mm-hmm. That's, like, the nicest thing. I mean, I guess I'm not super enthusiastic about Abe's Odyssey in 2014. It's, you know, like I said, it's fun. I don't know if it is required playing. I don't know if it has, like, showed itself to be an all-time classic with this new version or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to play. I talked a bit about playing those PlayStation Now games. I just kind of wanted to talk about Killzone 3 for a second, because my god, is that game hilariously stupid.
Why do you say
that? That game has, like, every first-person shooter cliche from, like, that era that you could possibly imagine. There's military guys going, oh yeah, and all this stupid shit. There's the blatant Nazi symbolism on the bad guys. There's like that long, boring walking part in the beginning because every first-person shooter had to be like Half-Life and Half-Life 2, but none of them could fucking do it nearly as well. Just like every little thing about it was like just kind of unintentionally hilarious to me. It's just like, there's the part where it's like, all right, you're a trained military guy, but go to the shooting range and practice. Also, it just happens to be on your way. You go to a shooting range, and it's like, okay, God. Just like every little thing, I was like, Jesus Christ. This is like the least imaginative game in the universe. But, I just wanted to bring that up for a split moment.
Hey, real quick, that reminds me of a game I did play quickly last night. I got Strike Suit Zero, which is one of the free games on Xbox Gold for Xbox One right now.
Okay.
It reminded me of something that I always had this problem with a lot of, like, space combat sims. The beginning of those games are mind-meltingly dull. Because they all start with a tutorial where it's like, push this button to lock onto target. Try locking on to several targets. And you cycle through, like, 10 things. Good. Now, push the right trigger to engage the boost. Boost to the next objective. And it's, like, a million miles away. Empty space. Okay. Now try the brakes. It's like, oh my God, I can fucking fly this plane. Let me go shoot shit, please.
Those are the worst tutorials, like the go through every button tutorial.
Yeah, it's like, I can fucking figure this out. There's 8 of these. There's 8 buttons. I'll figure it out.
Oh, man.
Wait. The right trigger shoots. Am I right? Oh my God. I just guessed. I just threw it out there.
Oh, man. Yeah, but besides all that, I haven't played much except for a lot of Hearthstone still. I've got my World of Warcraft subscription going again because I wanted to get my Death Knight to 90.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, I am just grinding for 90. I'm about 89 and a half now, so I'm almost there. But, you know, it's WoW. I'll tell you, it is like the first time in a long time where I'm like, I can't wait to be done with this. So I can just go back to playing a different MMO, in this case, Final Fantasy.
Is any of that 10th anniversary stuff they announced doing?
No, I don't think that's going to be till closer to November. That stuff is cool, though, for people who don't know. Like, they're making a battleground that's, like, based off of the old South Shore Terran Mill, if that's the place. Because there's that one zone, I forgot what that zone's called, but there's just two towns. It was, like, the first, like, PvP zone where, like, each faction had a town in it. And they the two towns, like, all the players would just, like, raid each other constantly. Because this was before there was chaos. Well, it was before there was actually a PvP system in place. There was no honor, there was no battlegrounds, no PvP arenas, nothing. So that was the PvP. So it's kind of funny that they brought this back. You get like a little fire puppy pet, and they're like opening up the Molten Core, which was one of the original raids, as like a new max level.
The pet's the Molten Corgi.
The pun just hit me.
Yes.
Adorable. So, it's nostalgia all around, but hey, that's fun.
Yeah.
Also, that game is at 6. I want to say
8
subscribers. Again, 6. It's 8. Down, but it's going, again, it's also about to turn 10 years old, so.
Yeah, that's what cracks me. People are like, oh, World of Warcraft's on the downswing. I'm like, look, even if it is, can we all agree that's pretty damn impressive?
There's no way there any other video game in history has any single software has made more money than World of Warcraft.
Oh, for sure.
There's no way. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, I played one of the new maps from the new map pack in Titanfall last night. I just played a quick round.
Jeez.
Yeah, the map was, it's the one called Haven. It's like in like a really like upper class cityscape.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool just because there aren't other maps like that one in the game. It just felt very different. It was neat.
That's cool.
Also has now that whole black market system where now instead of discarding burn cards, you sell them for credit and you earn credit by playing. So you can like buy burn card packs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's strictly virtual currency. There's no microtransactions to this. So that's kind of cool. Like they just kind of added a ways to keep that interesting. And then there's daily challenges you get now. So gives you reason to keep playing.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I need to check all that out. All right. So over on the SquadronShame.com, or the message board where we have our Exploding Barrel board now, which you need to check out. We actually posted up our last show and kind of show notes and got some discussion from everybody. And man, we got a lot of response from you guys. It actually made me pretty happy. Too much of it to really go over right now. Plus, it was like kind of a month ago. So maybe next time we can kind of dig into this a little bit more. I will say a lot of people were kind of singing the praises of Final Fantasy XIV over thing. And I think there's also kind of a lot of people who don't quite get MOBAs, which I can understand. I don't know if I quite get MOBAs yet.
Yeah, the consensus seemed to be that like people kind of appreciate what they're doing for those who like them, but it's just it's a hard thing to get into. It feels like I think someone might have said this. It's like what fighting games were for a while, where like yeah, I could kind of play a fighting game, but then you see some dude jump into a tournament and just do stuff that you can't even fathom. But, the difference there being a fighting game lasts for a few minutes, whereas a MOBA game is an hour.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think in the end, like the fighting game is still more appealing to me. I don't know why.
Hey, Mike, our dad's here.
What, your dad's at your place?
Yeah, he just walked into the
basement. Let's tell him we're almost done.
We're almost finished.
All right. Well, then, so yeah, so guys, thanks again for commenting there. You know, we had Asatir, Simi, Angry Jedi, Alex Conley, Beige. So all sorts of people were talking on there. Appreciate it. And we'll get new show notes up after this goes live. All right. So let's get to the releases then. For this week, which I don't think there was really much going on.
It's still the summer.
Yeah, it's still been kind of slow. Actually, I'm looking at the words, I don't see anything worth talking about. So how about that? So yeah, no. Although I saw that the new Persona fighting game got a release date.
It got finally a date, yeah.
It was September 30th. Let me see. Yeah, September 30th. So I'm excited for that. All right, well, I guess that does it then. I wasn't kidding myself, so we're almost done. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the EB Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Should I even talk about our Facebook page? We don't do anything there, do we? Yeah. Follow us on Twitter. go to the squadronofshame.com message boards. You can join all their Squadron of Shame discussions, and you can talk about our show on our own board there. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store. You'll find all of our old episodes, and you can leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.